This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 4094, for Thursday, the 11th of April, 2024. Today's show is entitled, 1 Year of Linux. It is hosted by Daniel Person and is about 17 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, my experience of running Linux full-time for a year.
Hello, hackers, and welcome to another episode. And I'm going to talk about my experience of running Linux full-time for a whole year. And this experience was something that it started with me running Windows and not being really satisfied with the operation of the Windows. I was pretty much fed up with how Windows worked. So I said, okay, I will try Linux for a while and see how that works. I have already ran Linux in my work environment for many years because when it comes to work, you need some system that is snappy and can just do the things that you need to do in order to actually accomplish your work and don't need any extra bells and whistles and so on. And I heard that Linux was better now when it comes to gaming. It was more suited to everyday tasks and so on. So I thought, okay, I want to try it out and I want to run it for a year or so and see if I like it and if I'm going to continue with it. So let's go through a couple of pros when it comes to running Linux in your desktop environment. So, the first pro is the speed. Everything is so much faster. It boots faster and it's faster to use. Everything is snappy and it just works. I run a lot of virtual machines and they boot really quickly in Linux. And everything is just more in tune to doing work. And there isn't a bunch of background processes that you need to tune and remove because a bunch of different software is installing a bunch of stuff that you don't really have control over. So being able to actually install what you need and having a very lean environment and have something that is speedy is something that I really appreciate. Next up, we have stability. And the big thing here is that I can, in some cases, run really long jobs. So I can run some machine learning task, I might do some OCR, I might do a bunch of things that will run for a longer time. And I need the system to be stable and up. And the biggest problem I have had during the time now is that I have power outages sometimes. So my power has been a little bit wonky lately, so I'm actually gonna try to fix that with the UPS for my machine as well, because I'm running these kind of longer tasks sometimes. And in Windows, it will reboot you without asking any questions. And you can say, well, I'm a company, you should ask me at least 30 days in advance. But when that time is up, it will reboot your machine, even though you don't want it. And I think that that kind of a sentiment, that kind of thinking is just not okay. If I don't want to reboot my machine, even though there is security updates and everything like that, I'm behind a firewall and I can make that choice. I know that some people and some users will never reboot their system if they are not asked to do so. And for those kind of people, I understand that it could be a good thing, but I should be able to turn it off. And I haven't found a solution for that in Windows. So that is a really big complaint when it comes to that. Next up is simplicity. I have spent so much time to get my machine learning tasks up and running, get CUDA installed and working in Windows. And there have been so much work going into just running basic tasks, compiling stuff and so on. And in Linux, everything just works. You can compile whatever you want, CUDA is installed, your graphics driver just works, and everything is just built in and stable, which is so much easier to work with. And there is no real hard problem there. And when I want to work with my other machine, I could bridge things with SSH and open Windows and use my environment much more simply. There is bridging software in Windows, but PuTTY doesn't do a really good job. So you really need to figure out a bunch of extra solutions that you don't really need in Linux to accomplish the same thing. And one thing that I feel in Windows is that there is an application for everything, but you need to find it and install it. But much of the things that you need for the kind of work that I do is already available in Linux. So I don't really need to hunt them down and figure out how they work. And it's so much easier to build products. I've already talked about that. And we also have a really good native support for Docker and running Docker images. So that is so much easier when you are testing things for work and you're building Docker images in order to make them production ready. You have that built in already. And the communication with my Ceph environment. So I have a Ceph file system where I store all my Windows videos and everything else that I want to do backups for. That is rock solid. There is a Windows implementation and it works sometimes, but it's not rock solid. So there again, another really great really great pro for the Linux environment. And next up, we have no disturbances. And that is also extremely important for me, because when it comes to the Windows environment, you have this notification bar, and I have turned it off so many times, and every update it turns on again, and you get a bunch of pop-ups and a bunch of information all the time that you don't really need or want, and you get this weather widgets that you need to remove and everything like that. All this extra information that you just don't need. In Linux, it's one button click. I'm not gonna want to be disturbed, and everything just disappears. And you can focus on your work and do what is actually important. And if you need information, you can hunt it down. But you don't get hassled with it all the time. Another thing is that there is no annoying antivirus that is just removing applications for you that you are working with and so on. And one thing that I was trying to do earlier was download Spinrite in order to run it on my machine. And Spinrite was so new, it had this really great license and everything. It was encrypted and everything was signed and so on from Microsoft, but they still flagged it and removed it on my machine, so I couldn't even download it. So I had to go into Linux to download the software in order to install it, which is just so strange. It's one thing to warn you and quarantine thing, but just don't say that you don't want to download something. That is taking things too far. So that was a bunch of pros for the Linux environment. There is, of course, a couple of cons, and let's go through those now. So the main con of a Linux environment is the games, the gaming environment and so on. It's harder. I can't say anything else. It's harder to run games in Linux. Most of the games are supported out of the box. Most of the games, the only thing you need to say that I want to use this in a compatibility mode and use Proton and it will work. I think you could pretty much forget about anything that has an online service where a bunch of kids are cheating all over the place, because when it comes to that, the companies have built strong protections in these anti-cheat software, and none of them work in Linux. So when it comes to older games, when it comes to games that are just normal offline enjoyment, then it just works for you. In some cases, you need to look at ProtonDB and do some small tweaks. But I have played a bunch of games, not the latest games, the games from this year or something like that, but I've played Cyberpunk, I've played Tomb Raider, I've played Assassin's Creed, I played a bunch of different games, and they just work. So there is not that much problematic problems to get games working, but you need to be a little bit more selective of what you actually play and check up if it actually works for you. The next con is video creation, and it's not really a bad thing. I can make my videos now. I'm using OBS and I'm using DaVinci Resolve. Before I used vMix and Adobe Premiere. So I have changed applications totally when I went over to Linux. I think I started using DaVinci Resolve a little bit earlier before I actually made the switch, because Premiere was just so expensive to actually have a license on, and I really didn't want to pay for it anymore. And DaVinci Resolve is, in my opinion, a really great software. Even the free license is really nice. And I have paid for the pro license as well because I use it a lot. But the sad part is vMix. They don't have any Linux support. vMix is a really cool streaming platform where you have so much functionality and so on. And I bought a license for it, and I bought this perpetual license. I actually have the license to use it until, I think, 10 years from now or even longer. So I have a really great license that I could use if I want to for vMix, but I don't because I don't have a Windows environment anymore. A little bit sad, but OBS works most of the time and does most of the work for me. There have been some glitches in upgrades and so on, and it have a tendency to turn off my mic. It's very annoying to record a full video without sound and then have to go back and record it again. And it happens on every reboot, and it's I don't know why. It's so strange that it's just when I reboot the machine, it stops working for some odd reason. And another thing is that I can't run Windows native applications, of course. In some cases, I find a really cool application that I want to try out. Can't run it locally, so I need to start a virtual machine and run it there. And in some cases, it doesn't even work there because it need some access to particular drivers that are only available in Windows and so on. So some small things there have been a little bit annoying. So not a big, huge thing, but some native applications I would like to try out, and they are only available in Windows. Next up, we have a big one, I think, and this is the VR support. Not everyone has a VR headset. I have one, play a lot of Beat Saber, and my kids also like to play VR from time to time. And this is an experience that I want to enable to my kids, because I think that not perhaps the implementation that I have, but I think that VR will be something, or something similar, will be something that is just an experience you have in the future. And having that experience early when you can, I think that is a really great. I have had my headset for 4 years. It was present to myself a bunch of years ago. So not running the games in Linux is a little bit sad. I can run Beat Saber, but I need to run it in the old version before they switched over to using the new engine. I don't remember if they are which engine they went over to, but the old engine works, the new engine doesn't. If I want, I could probably figure out how to run the new game as well, but it is a hassle because VR support is not really there in Linux at the moment. So currently, when my kids want to play, I have to reboot to Windows and go through all the updates and all the other things that I need to do in order to get a Windows environment that works when you haven't touched it for 6 months. So that's a little bit sad. Then we have the familiarity con. And this is something that I'm not really familiar with Linux at the moment. And it's a little bit annoying to find settings sometimes. So settings files could be in strange places. Finding your Steam directory was a little bit of a hassle in the beginning, and so on. So it's more, not really that it's super hard. It's just that I'm not a Linux native yet. I think I need a couple of more years, or at least 1 year, before I figure out where everything is stored and so on. It's really great that you can change all the configuration settings everywhere, but sometimes it can be a little bit hard to find them. And last but not least, bugs. Windows has bugs. I would not say that it's bug-free, but I have found more bugs in Linux. So I had some unstable updates. I'm not running Ubuntu LTS, it's long time support. I'm running it in a way that I'm installing the latest every time. And of course that means that I will get some bugs sometimes. So it's a little bit unstable in some cases. And it's not really unstable in the way that applications crash or anything like that, but after an upgrade, I can have some driver issues and so on. And I also noticed that my web camera sometimes bugs out after I've used some application. So when I come back to a conference call with my colleagues, for instance, I might be required to turn the camera off and turn it on again in order for it to be found in Linux and actually work in that environment. So this was what I wanted to cover today. I have talked about my experience of running Linux for a whole year, and I hope that you found this interesting. I hope that you learned something today.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.